Well, good morning again. Good morning. If we have any Kidmo kids still in here, you guys are dismissed to head back to Kidmo. And we appreciate David and Stephanie and Braden coming up and lighting our first candle. And I'm not sure who the Grinch was. I love Christmas. Anybody else? We want to let our love of Christmas just overflow on you. For if you're a Grinch, but if you are, there's nothing we can do about it. Let me tell you what we're going to be doing over Christmas. Last year, we did a series called Advent Conspiracy, and we each year have tried to focus the season not just on the busyness of Christmas, not just on Christmas trees and jingle bells and things like that, but on the reason for Christmas. And so, excuse me, what we want to do this year is we want to talk about the coming light, that Jesus is the light of the world, and he has called us to follow him and be a light to others. Last year, we did, along with the Advent Conspiracy, we did a special offering throughout the month of December, and that was to raise money for Wells through 1040 Connections, and you gave about $6,000 last December for us to be able to build clean water wells and plant churches in India and Nepal, which we've already heard how some of that money has been used from Chad and Leslie, who are the directors of 1040 Connections. This year, we want to do something a little different. We have a couple of families that we've been sharing with you over the last few weeks and months are stepping out to do what I believe not only honors God, but it is also demonstrates great love for the rest of us. And those are the Murphy families and the Henderson families, who are both adopting and are going to great expense to do that. They are opening their homes to children that are not going to have a home otherwise. And so we're very excited about the steps that we're taking. We would like to help them take those steps. If you're not familiar with adoption, whether it's domestic or overseas, it can be very expensive. And so we thought that what would be a great use of our December offering is to, whatever you would like to give towards that, we're just going to split it in half and give to them. Scripture literally says, pure and undefiled religion is to take care of widows and orphans. And so we believe it honors Christ to take care of those without parents. And if we can help them do that, then we want to do that. So whenever we take an offering, if you would like to designate a gift towards adoption, you can just write adoption on there. And we'll make sure that it all gets tallied and it all gets sent out where it needs to go. But we think it's a great opportunity to give a special offering for some in our community that are doing some wonderful things in the world. And so we'll start that today, and we'll continue through the end of the month. Also, a few other Christmas announcements. Number one, if you've been a part of Convergence, our small groups with Convergence, we are having our last Convergence of the year this Friday night. It's going to be a Christmas party. We're also going to cover we've been doing the other letters of John. We're going to be covering 3 John as well, but we're going to be spending most of the time just having fun together. So if you have any questions about that, see Stacy. She'll be glad to answer any questions you have. And we'd love to have you here Friday night at 6. Also, every year that we've been doing Journey, we take one Sunday off a year. And that Sunday is the Sunday between Christmas and New Year's, or that right around New Year's. So we will be doing that again this year. Our last Sunday service of 2012 will be the 23rd. On that day, we are also going to be having our Christmas Eve service, or our Christmas Adam service, as Stephanie likes to call it, our Christmas Adam service. So we're going to be doing that on the 23rd at 5 o'clock here. We're going to have not just light our last candle of Advent, we're going to be doing a candlelight service this year, which we haven't done before. So if you have pyrotechnic children, keep an eye on them. If you're an adult and you have pyrotechnic tendencies yourself, then, pyromaniac tendencies, then we'll have to keep an eye on you as well. And then immediately after our Christmas Eve service, we're going to be cooking out and eating a meal together. So we're going to have our church community party, Christmas party, right after the Christmas Eve service that Sunday night. So we hope that you guys can come and be a part of that. And we're looking forward to just all the stuff going on. And I know you have a lot going on, so you can put that into your calendar. And then one last thing that I need to just make you aware of is every other seat in here had a little white piece of paper in it. And it is my role to officially tell you that after 5 years of doing children's ministry that we consider some of the best children's ministry anywhere around, we are officially over our heads. I just want you to know that. And every parent in here that has a child in our children's ministry is going, should we go get them? What does that mean? We are continuing to provide what we believe is some of the best opportunities to help children grow in their faith. And none of that is changing. However, our ministry to children and young families has now grown to the degree that we really need more help to make it happen. If we can't have some more bodies in there, then those who are teaching are going to really struggle to continue keeping that high level of teaching and caring for those children. And so what we would like for you to consider is in this, if you want to fill out one of these forms, we're asking for you, especially if you have children in the children's ministry, just to commit to help, not teach. You can teach if you want to, but just to help one Sunday per quarter. And that's four times a year, four Sundays per year. If you'd be willing to go in and be a body and an assistant, then would you fill that out and put that in the offering plate a little bit later? You'll even see on the bottom, if there's somebody you would like to volunteer with, you can do that. If you want to make it your spouse or a friend or somebody else. We didn't have a list of who you don't want to work with, and maybe we should have put that on there too. But if you would like to do that, would you put that in? We want to continue to provide an incredible ministry to children, and you guys can help us to do that. And all you have to do is be a warm body four times a year. So if you'd be willing to do that, fill that out and put that in the plate. And that's all I have to say about that. All right, I'm looking forward to getting started with our new series. Do y'all like the Christmas decorations? We had several people showed up yesterday and helped us to decorate. We had a blast. We ate some donuts, had some coffee, told a lot of jokes, and had a lot of fun together. So I want to thank everybody who showed up to help. We need to do that like every time we redecorate. That was just a lot of fun. We've been building up to a series we wanted to call Light, because we believe that this Christmas season is one that has been drowned out, and it's actually the darkness somewhat overtaking the light. Because in all of our celebrations as followers of Jesus, what we know is a fact is that Jesus is real and he is true and he came to provide salvation for us. And so our opportunity at Christmas is to not just think about it, not just preach about it, but for us to live in anticipation that he is coming again and to give our thanks and our worship that he did come to provide salvation for us. But like you and me, many in our world, especially in our nation, we are so distracted with all the stuff that goes around it. I mean, we get stuck in lines, and some of you know, you could go shopping. There were stores open all day on Thanksgiving. They're just long hours, long lines, and most of us, we want to provide gifts for people we love and care about, but we hate the lines. And so I was talking with an associate at Best Buy. I said, you know, how did your Black Friday go? And he said, well, you know, it wasn't too bad, but down the road there were fistfights and people yelling and screaming at each other. And I'm just thinking, that's just darkness overtaking a season that should be the celebration of a coming Savior. And so what we want to do is we want to be refocusing our attention. Not that we don't go shopping. Not that we don't have eggnog, because I love eggnog. Not that we don't go to Christmas parties or host Christmas parties. Not that we don't buy gifts for people that we care about and also for people that we don't even know, like Room in the Inn. We want to be able to do all those things, but we want to do it all under the cover of celebrating our Savior. Now, when you read through Scripture, if you just do a basic search for the word light, what you're going to find is that light is used in many different ways, most often associated with God describing himself. He is light. He is someone who not only dispels the darkness, he helps us to see where we need to head with our lives and with the direction of our community. He is the light that shines through the darkness, that pushes it back. Those things that just encroach in upon us, make us desperate and full of despair, he dispels it so that we can see what is true, what is hopeful and loving, what is worthy of our faith, and what we can trust in, that Jesus is our Savior. Have you ever had an opportunity to feel like you're just walking through life and you've got it all figured out only to have your entire world changed in the blink of an eye. Have you ever had that? Similar to being in a dark room and you flip on the light, all of a sudden everything changes. For Deidre and I had one of these experiences on our honeymoon. That's not what I meant. We took a trip. I don't know. I missed it. Okay. We took a trip down to Cozumel and Cancun. And we stayed in a place that was about, it was about an hour's drive outside of the main city because I couldn't afford to take us to Cancun. So we had to go out. And along the way, we were so excited. We were so excited to get away. It was one of those all-inclusive, you know, trips. And it was like, we don't have to pay a dime. And, you know, I was just out of college. And we don't have to pay a dime. We get to go sit on the beach. And it was great. And, you know, if you've gone through the whole thing with weddings and a big wedding with lots of people and lots of stuff, then you know that is a stressful time. And for us, we had the opportunity to go. And we were just ready to relax and sit on the beach. And it was great. Everyone, they were going to attend to our every need. You know, I had images of people with, you know, big palm branches fanning me and handing me grapes. I mean, I was ready. I mean, here we are. And as we drove down there, it was my first time in Mexico. And it was a new experience. And as we reached close to the resort, we began to pass some of the homes of those that would be serving us. Now, I tell you what. You want to take the wind out of your sails about having somebody pamper you. Find out where those people live and the conditions in which they live. And for me, this whole mindset of, oh, they're just going to feed me, you know, grapes. And do we get up yet? Are they going to bring us food into our room? You know, we can do whatever we want. It was just kind of this crisis of, man, look at their lives. This was a whole new world to me. I mean, I guess I just, in my... You know, just not knowing, I assumed they lived in the same kind of place that I would be spending my time at the resort in. And yet they lived in these shacks and these little shanties and things that we wouldn't even want to store our lawn equipment in. And that's where they lived. And for me in that moment, it was like a light switch came on of what life is like for people in different parts of the world I had never experienced before. Or maybe I had just shut out because I didn't want to see it. And in that moment, my world changed. Now, we did go in and we had a great time together. I tell you, we tipped really big. And we said thank you a lot. And we talked to as many people as we could. But it didn't change the fact that for us to be in the lap of luxury, someone else was struggling to get by. Now, most people don't see those things. For me, that was a moment where just the world changed. And it changed the way I saw the world. And it continues to affect the way that I see the world and the things that I want out of it. What it costs others for me to have what I want. You see, there's been another moment in my life where I've experienced that same kind of change. Like a light switch went on and I thought I had it all figured out, but I didn't. And that was the day that I truly asked Jesus to be my Savior. That was a life-changing day for me. It was not a day about saying a prayer, being baptized or anything. It wasn't a day of just, you know, now I get to go to heaven. It was a day that I knew Jesus is real and he loves me and he wants me to walk with him. See, I knew all those things before this day happened. I grew up in church. I grew up hearing great sermons and great Bible lessons, and I went to vacation Bible school, and I had heard all those things. I had learned all those things, but there was a day that it became real. It wasn't just a concept. It was Jesus is real. He is here with me, and he wants me to walk with him. And in that moment, my life just utterly changed, and I know many of you have a very similar testimony, even if some of the details are different. You know what it's like to be walking through life thinking it is all about what I can do for myself. It's all of what I can get other people to do for me. I have to make my way in this world and I don't really know what's going to work out and I don't know what happened at the end. I can't even worry about that. I have too much on my plate now. But then to know that the creator of the world wants to have a relationship with you. He is there with you, not just to say, hey, worship me. But he is there to say, I want to share my love with you. I want to walk with you. I want to help you to make decisions and go through this life in a way that helps you grow. And you can experience the fullness of a life you never would have had otherwise. See, for many of us, we've had these kind of light switch moments that just changed our reality. And we don't have many. I haven't had many of them. I've had very few, but the ones that I've had, they have been very powerful. I don't need a bunch of them. And I truly believe that as we celebrate this Christmas season, that is what God wants to do in our lives. Is he wants to radically change the way we see the world, see ourselves, and see him. So when we go through and we look at Scripture, and if you've got a Bible or if you want to be on YouVersion, if you've got some other electronic Bible with you, we're going to be looking primarily at 1 John today, chapter 1. If you want to turn there, this is where we're going to kind of start with this series. As we're looking at this Christmas season, we have to understand that there are parts of the world that are very dark. Now, for some of us, that's not a problem. I understand. There are parts of the world that are really dark. Afghanistan is really dark. Iraq is really dark. Iran is really dark. I mean, it's easy to come up with those ideas. Or maybe do some kind of economic status. Those in the projects live in a dark world. Those that with a high crime rate live in a dark world. See, we can twist our understanding of the world based on comfort, based on what feels good and is easy. We often, as Americans, base that on our capitalistic system and society. We think we don't live in the darkness that these other places live in. But what if the darkness has encroached upon us in a way that we don't easily notice because it's comfortable? See, when do you notice that it is time to change a light bulb? You turn it on and there's not enough light. You know, I can't stand to be in a room with not enough light. I can't stand it. The only reason I can stand the low level of light we have in here right now is because I understand the reason we have a low level of light. But if I had any room in my house with this low a light, it would drive me nuts. I'd be hooking up lamps. I'd be putting brighter bulbs in. I can't stand it. I like a well-lit room. I don't like to stump my toe. I don't like to wonder where things are. And there's just something about a dim room that doesn't have to be. Thank you. There's something about a dim room that doesn't have to be. That in me, it just feels like, Yeah, probably could get counseling for this. I recognize some of you have already made that leap. I could probably get counseling for this. But we often don't notice that darkness has encroached upon us until there is now an absence of the light we've been accustomed to. And usually what happens is a light bulb does not slowly lose its light until it's completely not functioning. It just all of a sudden, it's not working. But in our worlds, often what happens is the darkness just begins to move in among us, and we don't really notice it until one day we remember the way things were once in our lives, and we think, what happened? How did we get to this point? And I truly believe that many of us struggle with this very thing. And so what I want us to do is to understand what is the concept of light and take it on a bigger context than simply what we can see with our eyes. Because what you can see with your eyes is only a small percentage of what the light truly provides us. So if you've got your Bible or YouVersion or whatever you're using and you're looking at 1 John chapter 1, this is what it says in verse 5. This is the message we have heard from him and proclaim to you that God is what? Light. God is light. God does not exude light. God does not cast light, but God is light. Whatever is light, whatever we understand that to be, that is God. God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. Now, it's one of the reasons, this verse is one of the reasons that when you see images and some different artistic periods of God or Jesus, you can't see a face, you just kind of see this, light. It's just like a ray of light. There are other places in Scripture that has come from as well. For example, Moses' experience with God, and he could not even behold him. He was so, his glory just showed all around him. But God is light. There is no darkness at all in him. Now, why is this important? It's important because we struggle at times with adjusting our beliefs and our faith and our theology based on this very thing. Is there darkness in God? Now, if we were to bring every person up here and say, excuse me, but do you believe there's any darkness in God? We would have somebody that would say, yes, just to be ornery, because some of you are just that way. Some of our staff are just that way. I'm not going to mention who. But most of us would say, we know what the right answer is. Of course, there's no darkness in God. Do we believe always that there is no darkness in God? What about when you get a pay cut or you get a job cut? Do we still believe that God is only light and there's no darkness in him? What about when we've made a mistake and we're waiting for God to let the hammer fall? Do we then believe there's no darkness in God? What about when someone we care about, something devastating has happened to them, and we go, God, what are you doing? See, while none of us would stand in front of a group of people and say that God has darkness in him, there are moments in our lives that we question the goodness of God, and we question whether there is darkness in him. For some, they've taken this concept, and they do believe that there is light and darkness within God, that he has both. I had a theology professor one day, and the way that he logically understood creation was that sin and evil and hate, all those things, are all characteristics of God. And when he created, since there was nothing except God, if those things were created, they must have come from God. And so God must also have sin, hate, and evil residing within him. It is a mindset that has slowly pervaded our logic, trying to understand something that cannot, or someone that cannot be understood. For others, they look at it a little different way. They believe God is the father of sin. He just loves to put those things in our path to make us trip up to see if we're truly devoted to him. And we have this twisting mindset at times that there is darkness in God. But yet, what we're reading is there is no darkness in him at all. Can we explain all of the bad things that happen in the world? Well, we can come up with an explanation, but we will never be able to satisfactorily answer why the world is the way it is. Because we are not God. But we must trust from the very beginning that if we are going to follow him, there is no darkness in him. We have to trust in that. And if there's even a hint within our minds that says, yeah, God, most of the time he's okay, but sometimes, God, I don't agree with him. That is a very dangerous place to live life. Not fully trusting in the one who has brought us light. 1 John 1:6 says this. If we, this is going back to that God is light, completely light. If we say we have fellowship with him, with God, while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. Do we have the opportunity to walk with God? And when we're walking with God, we are walking in the light. Whenever we're walking with him, we have the opportunity to see the world as it is. We have the opportunity to follow him faithfully, even when we're really not sure what the next step is in our lives. We have the chance to follow him. And if we walk in darkness, now you can fill in. We don't have to spend a lot of time explaining darkness. If you're walking in darkness, are you walking with God? Not if God is light. Because not only does he give light, he allows us to be receivers of that light and reflectors of that light as well. So when we walk with him, it is not that we never have anything go wrong. That could not be further from the truth. Some of us have stuff that go wrong all the time. Daily, it feels. We walk with God, we have the opportunity to walk in the light. Well, so what does that mean? Does that mean we walk around and the sun never sets? Does it mean we just walk around and we whistle all the time because everything's wonderful? What does it mean that God is light and He gives it to us? Here are some places that if you just follow through the way God has worked in our world, I just want to share a few things with you real quick. God gives us light. How does He do that? Number one, in creation, He gave us light to exist by. In the beginning was God, and there was nothing, and then all of a sudden God began to create, and then it says in verse 3 of Genesis 1, God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. And God saw that the light was good. And God separated the light from the darkness, separated them. You cannot have light and darkness in the same place. You're either going to have light or you're going to have darkness. He separated the darkness from the light. God called the light day, and the darkness He called night. And there was evening, and there was morning the first day. I'm really glad God created light. You know why? Because I know what it's like to try to find something in the middle of the night. And it's not fun. I stub my toe. I'm getting older, so my eyesight's not as good. So in the dark, I really can't see anything. So don't turn the lights off, Sean. I won't see anything. You know, I don't like walking around in darkness. Whenever it gets dark at night, what do? We flip on all the lights in the house. What did you used to do before we had electricity? Went to bed. Well, you had candles if you could afford them. But you went to bed. Wait till the light come up. Life stopped. How many of us, we sleep, we don't get enough sleep because we're always doing stuff, we're always working? You didn't do that. Light was gone, you had to go to bed. There's nothing else to do, and you could rest. Now we can have light on all the time. So what does it mean to walk in light? God gave us light in creation to exist by. It allows us to go about our day. It allows us to set our times. I was imagining the other day, what would happen if we did not have night and everything was perpetually day? What would happen in our communities? I mean, it'd be terrible. No one would sleep at the same time. We'd have even less community than we have now. We would be literally working 24 hours a day. At least the darkness gives us a break, and it says it is time to withdraw until the light comes back. So He gave us light and darkness, and we know that that is true. We also know that part of the way that God gave us light was to see the world in the way that it truly existed, not just in the way that our eyes saw. Because there is a difference in seeing things spiritually and seeing things with our physical eyes. And so one of the ways He did that was to give us light by giving us the law in the Old Testament. Now that's a lot of fun to talk about, isn't it? We love the law. We love rules. We're rule followers here, aren't we? Some of you think, I'm in the wrong place. Some of you are thinking, amen, brother, preach it. Yeah, we need to follow some rules. We need some more rules around here. And He gave us the law so that we could see what God deemed as right and wrong. We read in Romans chapter 5, it says, now the law came in. This is so interesting. The law came in to increase the trespass or increase sin. In that kind of God, I'm going to give you the law so that sin will increase. Awesome. He goes on, it says, but where sin increased, grace abounded all the more, so that as sin reigned in death, grace also might reign through righteousness, leading to eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. It was not that we received the law in order that we could all of a sudden mess up more. It was that we would know the difference. We would know the difference. See, God was not content with us just bumbling through this world. He wasn't content with us just trying to make our way and trying to get at the other end and feel good about what we did with our lives. Instead, God said, I want you to know what is important to me. Because God has been pursuing us from the beginning, providing for us from the beginning. And so He gave us the law so that not that we would sin more, but that we would know the difference. But fortunately for that, as He brought the law, He gave us grace through Jesus Christ. Because He knew we couldn't keep it. My kids can't keep it. I couldn't keep it. You couldn't keep it. No one can. It was impossible. So we would truly question whether there was darkness in God if He gave us the law and said, good luck. I'll see the few of you who make it on the other side, which we know that would be no one. But grace increased. He wanted us to know the difference. But when sin began to increase, grace increased to combat it. Through Jesus, we can live by faith. And so God gave us that light. See, God's been providing the opportunity for us to see and to seek from the very beginning. God has been providing that. That is who He is. God is light. He wants us to have that. And He has been providing and pursuing from the very beginning. In John chapter 8, it says this. Jesus spoke to them saying, I am. And this is where we begin to see Jesus saying, I'm God, and God and I are one. We are both the same. We're not these individuals, but we are both the same. Jesus spoke to them saying, I am the light of the world. Which is interesting because later He will say, you are the light of the world. Very interesting. We're going to talk about that later. I am the light of the world. God is light. There is no darkness in Him. Jesus says, I am the light of the world. Then He says to His followers that are following Him and have the Holy Spirit living within them, now you are the light of the world. It's huge. We reflect that. Not that we're Jesus and not that we're God, but we reflect what He gives us. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Let's stop there. So if those who follow Him have the light of life, what do those who don't follow Him have? See, for most people, they think because I get up in the morning and I see the sun, I see the light. And we use that phrase for so many things. You know, I went to New York Pizza Department and I saw the light. I made good pizza. We use that phrase for so many things. You ever thought about that? They didn't see things my way, but then they saw the light. Right? We use that phrase in so many things, but truly there is a world that thinks they have seen the light, but they're living in darkness. And it is very possible some of us are living in that darkness as well, if we're not following Jesus. Because He said, only those who have a relationship with Christ have the light of life. These things that God is continually showing and giving, it is so that we all can have them, but not all will choose to have them. So what does it look like? What does it mean to have that life, that light? Galatians chapter 3, and I'm giving you several passages today. Galatians chapter 3 says this, before faith came, this was when the law was there, before faith in Christ came, before faith came, we were held captive under the law. Isn't that fun? We were held captive by these things that we could not possibly obtain. Imprisoned until the coming faith would be revealed. That was Jesus who would be coming. So then the law was our guardian. It helped us to see as God saw until Christ came. And then everything changed. Everything changed. You see, on that still, quiet night, whenever that was during the year, as different scholars tell us, and Jesus was born, was the coming of a prophecy that had been hoped for generations. Scripture says even the rocks cry out for this Redeemer. Because sin and darkness have so blanketed creation, they're desperate to be liberated. Desperate to have that life, that light. Desperate to not also be under the law. So when the law was our guardian until Christ came, in order that we might be justified by faith, by now that faith has come, we are no longer under a guardian, for in Christ Jesus you are all sons of God through faith. He has given us that. See, the law helps us to know that we sin. And the point of the law is not that there was a law for every possible infraction of what honored God. It wasn't that they came up with every possible one, and so we could maybe get a list long enough that we could eventually do all the right things. But instead, it was just long enough to say, you cannot do it. It is not possible. God gave us many things when He created us. He did not give us His righteousness, nor His holiness. Only Jesus can give us that. God didn't give us that in the beginning. We can't see it. We come back to 1 John chapter 1, our favorite topic, sin. It's a lot of fun to talk about, isn't it? If we say we have no sin, now we say that in a number of different ways. We don't actually say it. Again, if we brought everybody up here and say, do you have sin in your life? Every person may not admit what it is, but probably every person in the room would say, yeah, I do. Because we know that's the right answer. But how many of us have relationships with people who sin a lot more than us? We like those people. Because if I'm feeling bad about me, I want to have some people on the wings that they make me feel better about me. You are really messed up. I feel a lot better about myself. We do that all the time. And that's one way that we deny the sin in our own lives and we focus on the sin of others. It's one way we do that. If we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. The truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, if we just are honest about them, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. See, He didn't give us His righteousness, but He has promised to cleanse us from all the unrighteousness we have through Jesus Christ. He has promised that. If we say we have not sinned, we make Him a liar and His word is not in us. God, I don't know what your problem is, but I've been toeing the line. I've been doing all the right stuff, and I am not near as bad as those people. So you ought to be thankful that you've got me in the family, because I'm the good family member. That makes Him a liar. And again, we wouldn't say these things. But sometimes deep in our minds, we let that darkness cloud back over us, and we thank them. We hold people to high expectations, much higher expectations than we hold ourselves. That's one of the worst things we do. I put my expectation for you on the world, but I give myself grace. I have no mercy for you, but I've got lots of mercy for myself. We do that all the time. And that is darkness. That is still seeing the world through darkness, not through the light of Jesus Christ. One of the other ways that God has given us His light, because not only did He give us light, the sun, to give us light and warmth and allow, you know, life to populate the world, but He has also given us the law so that we could know what honors God and what doesn't. He gave us Jesus Christ because we could not meet the standards of the law. And He also gave us His word because it wasn't enough just to say, just follow Jesus. He said, let me show you how to follow Jesus. In Psalm 119, I love this verse, or 105 and 106, it says, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. I have sworn an oath and confirmed it to keep your righteous rules. So God literally says His word, the Bible as we have it, what He has shared both through Jesus and about following in Jesus' footsteps, that is a light unto our feet. So He doesn't just say, I'm going to give you Jesus. He says, now I'm going to help you walk with Him. And so His word is a light unto our feet because God is light. There's no darkness in Him. He is light. If you question His perfect love for you, there is no darkness in Him. If you question His desire to see you do well in life, even though that may look different than our national understanding of what it looks like to do well in life, but if you doubt that He truly wants you to do well in life, there is no darkness in Him. If you doubt that He loves you no matter what you have done or will do in your life, there is no darkness in God. Because He is light. We have been given the light so we can seek and not just see. See, I think this is a big sticking point. See, for many, it's enough to just see. And there are many in the world that will see God and they will see Jesus, but they will not seek Him. You see, it's one thing to just be in a room and all of a sudden the lights come on and you're like, oh, cool. Awesome. But if you've ever really looked for anything and there's no light, you can't find it. And so God gave us the ability to be able to see, but then it was up to us to what we were going to do with it. And so His consistent call to us is, will you seek me? Will you seek me? You know, in our last series covered, we talked about the difference between saving grace and common grace. Common grace is that kind of grace that everybody in the world experiences on some level. They get to see a sunset. They can fall in love. They can receive love from others. There are things that God gives all people, whether they accept Jesus as their Savior or not. And some people are fine with that. But that is very different than receiving the grace that came through Jesus. To follow Him and be forgiven for our sins. It's a very different type of grace. For some of us, we have been able to see. We've been able to see what God wants to do in our lives. We've been able to observe what God is doing around us. But that doesn't mean that we're seeking Him. It doesn't mean that we look at His Word and say, this is a light unto my feet to guide me where I need to go. It's just a book on my shelf that I feel guilty I don't read enough. Does it light the path where we walk? Now, what does that look like? It literally looks like I take my steps according to how Your Word instructs me. There's a huge difference in the way many Christians live their lives today. Many people read Scripture to understand doctrine and to understand theology and to be able to argue it because they want to win. Fewer people use it to say, light my steps so that the next step I take honors You. There's a difference in seeing or seeking. He has given us the light, not only so that we see, but we must choose to seek. And for us at Christmas, it doesn't mean that you have to deny all Christmas traditions, but it means that we do not shove Jesus somewhere in the corner because we have all these other things we enjoy more. We seek Him. It's a beautiful invitation that He has given us. We have been given the light so we can seek and not just see. There are those that will have seen that never have known Jesus Christ. And that is a travesty. A travesty they'll never fully understand until the day that it's too late. Will we seek? Will we look at others? Sometimes we're just content saying, well, they're not seeking. And if they're not doing it, then I don't feel so bad. Or look at them. I'm seeking more than they are. Some of us are content with that kind of life. And I'm going to tell you, that is darkness. Any kind of comparing with other people is darkness. But especially when we begin to pick out the ways that they're not quite as good of a follower as we are. That is darkness. God is not the author of that. Walking in the light is not just seeing, but seeking. What we're going to talk about later, I'm not going to spend any time on this today, is that God also calls us to reflect this light. You are called to reflect this light. This is what He says in Matthew chapter 5. You, this is where he begins to shift to those who are His followers. You are the light of the world. If I were in this initial group of 12, I would be pulling Jesus aside and saying, okay, Jesus, I know the other 11, and I know myself. This is a mistake. I would not go this direction. You need to stick around because they will screw it up. That's what I would have said. And He would have, I don't know, that's why I'm not one of the 12. That's why I was born in this time and not that time. But He said, you will now be this light. You will help people see and seek. You will demonstrate what it means to seek Him. It goes on and says, a city set on a hill cannot be hidden. That is who you are, His followers. Does the world see that? Were we kinder on Black Friday than everyone else? Or were we just like everybody else, demanding attention and speed and what we want? Do they see something different in us? You are the light of the world. That's something that we as a community, we have to take seriously. What you do on Facebook, what you do on Twitter, what you do at Walmart, what you do at school or at work or with your neighbors, it matters. The way others view you, it matters. It doesn't mean we fit into their mold because we often don't fit into the mold people want us to fit into. But it matters how we live and how we walk and how we treat people outside of these walls. It matters because we're supposed to reflect His light into the world. Dispel the darkness. But if we live with the darkness and we're comfortable in the darkness, how will we ever be light to anyone if we're never different? To finish out 1 John, what he's saying in those previous verses was, if we deny that there is darkness in our lives, then we deny the truth of the gospel. We are literally saying we don't need Jesus. Chapter 2 says this, "My little children, I am writing these things to you so that you may not sin." And this is where he begins to bring the hope into this discussion. "But if anyone does sin," I'm glad he tagged this on, because if he stopped with "so that you won't sin," I'd be like, well, thanks. Thanks for the guilt trip. "But if anyone does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. He is a propitiation," or the atonement, "for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world." I want to leave you with a question for this Christmas season. I don't have a schedule that I think you should follow to be a good follower of Jesus. That's walking just as much in darkness. There's no rule book that says you can only attend so many parties and you've got to give so much money away versus how much money you give in gifts. There's no rules to that. To be able to put those rules into effect are to deny the grace of Jesus Christ. But I would ask you that in all that you do this season, are you seeking him? Will we see the light and seek Jesus through all of this? I believe we can definitely honor Jesus by giving gifts to others. I believe we can definitely honor Jesus by being in community and having time with friends and family. I believe we can honor Jesus by having these great parties you're going to have. Would you consider inviting someone to them that may not know the light of Jesus Christ, rather than just your favorite folks that are always there? Are we going to seek him through this season? I will tell you that the process of seeking Jesus always ends in a fulfilling way. Always, always, always. Because Jesus is not one that laughs as he runs away. He is one who is seeking you, and he longs for you to seek him. So as we enter into this Christmas season, as we close out today, I would ask you, are you seeking him? Are there things in your life that you're holding back? Are there things that, you know, this is my deal? God, you've got your deal on Sundays, but this is my deal, so just stay out of it. Are we honestly seeking him? Do we see his word as a light unto our feet, and so that we hunger to know what he has said so he will guide our steps, not so we can figure out how to sidestep it or tweak it in a way that life works out the way we want it to? There is no darkness in God. To follow him wholeheartedly and fully is a gift that he has given us. And so as we come through the Christmas season and we're doing all the different things, let us remember that this is all about Jesus Christ. He has come into the world to give us hope and to rescue us. So let us seek him, not just in the Christmas season, but every day of our lives. Would you pray with me? Father, God, I thank you for all the ways that you have illuminated our lives. You have shared with us what it looks like to follow you and to know you. God, I pray for those that are here today and they so desperately want all these things we're talking about, but they just, life feels very dark. Lord, I pray that you would give them hope and you would give them freedom. Father, I pray that they would experience you in a way that is real. I pray that as a community, we would demonstrate and reflect the light that you've given us through Jesus Christ. Help us to do it wherever we go. Help us to do it as a church. Help us to do it as individuals. Help us all to do it as your followers. Lord, I pray for those that are here today and they have been seeing for a very long time, but they still have not sought you. Father, I pray that they would see a very real difference in what it means just to see, but to know you. And for those that are ready to take that step to walk in repentance, but also to receive the great promise of the forgiveness you've given through Jesus Christ. We thank you for your love and for your grace and for the opportunity to be your children. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.